2 Samuel, chapter 10 and 11, one of my unfavorite chapters in the entire Bible. And I'm not saying one of my unfavorite chapters in 2 Samuel, or one of my unfavorite chapters in the Old Testament. I'm saying one of my unfavorite chapters in the entire Bible. You said last week you were saying it's one of your favorite chapters, and wasn't it? I hope you enjoyed that teaching on Mephibosheth, not because it was a great teaching so much as the material stands up. As we looked at God's, the reflection of Jesus Christ, David's greater son, and David's a Christ, a sure Christ type. Not tonight. Anyone who's a Christ type in the Bible at some point, not. Because only Christ is the true Christ type. Yeah. And anything we compare to Christ, I mean, we compare somehow, like, but there's only one Jesus, so any comparison that's made, everyone will fall down, you know, at some point. David's not a sinless man like Jesus was. So before we jump in too deep, I just want to publicly acknowledge God's grace. And you saw mercy yesterday. I think it's a demonstration of what we saw. Did God give us what we deserve? No. No. Gave us, he was gracious to us, he was very good, he was merciful. Now, if you think, whew, we're out of the woods, shame on you, now it's time to roll up our sleeves. Guys, get on your knees and fight like a man. This is the time to do it. We've got a 4-year reprieve. I thought I may have witnessed the end of Western civilization as we know it. As the United States goes, so goes the world. And we have been one of the last bastions of true freedom. And I wasn't ready to give up on this noble 200-plus year experiment. And so I publicly acknowledge a sovereign God showed up and didn't give us what we truly deserve, but was gracious to us. I'm not trying to be... I voted button. Them little stickers they give you. Well, one, I can't get into the house unless I show that at the door because I'm not getting fed unless I voted. And it was 45 minutes for me, which was a long time. Several people said, yeah, I just walked right in, walked right up and voted, and I was out in 5-10 minutes and good. I'm glad. Tom showed me the picture of his line. He was in yesterday. He went home and voted. 3 hours. God bless you. God bless you for doing the right thing. I talked to a guy yesterday. He's a good guy, decent worker. He never voted. And I said, well, who do you want to win? He said, well, I think they are trying to put the vice president in, and they are trying to, you know, do his end run around. I said, right. That's how I feel. They are them. They aren't us. Don't let them do it. Well, and he asked me, he said, do they charge you anything? I said, no. No, poll tax used to be a thing. But no, you can register same day and vote. And I was kind of encouraging him to. And he, I don't think I will. I don't think I will. I said, listen, tomorrow I am going to come. And if he loses by one vote, I'm going to punch you in the eye so hard. I told him because I wouldn't. He knew it and we laughed. But I don't want to get too far afield, but I just want to thank God for being good. Now we got work to do. I mean, we got prayer to do. We have a window of opportunity. The Great Commission goes on. Okay, 2 Samuel chapter 10. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash. I can't remember what that means. It's a sinister name. But anyway, apparently, you know, that I don't remember what Hanun means. I don't think I looked it up. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father? Of course he does. Of course he does. That's what we're told. So on a pretext, on a whim, on a, yeah, I bet I know what he's thinking, see all the mischief that follows. You got to give people the benefit of the doubt. I'm not saying write out huge checks to people and give them the benefit of the doubt, but all things being equal, don't always suspect the worst in everybody. That's called projection. I said before, you don't look behind the door unless you've hid behind the door. And you're projecting your... I'm just a cynical, horrible human being, and I just project my cynicism on everybody else. Don't do that. Don't be like that. So this is... Now see what happens here. The prince of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Have not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city, to spy it out, and to overthrow it? Now, if you have counsels like that, tell them to shut up and go away. I have people around me, praise the living God, who will say, Adam, okay, you're dumb. Now, smarten up. And I tell everyone, like, you know, we have a board, and I tell the elders, if I have a bad idea and you sign off on it, you haven't done me any favors whatsoever. And I don't think they're the kind of yes men. I don't believe that, or they wouldn't be serving that position. I have friends around me who will hold my feet to the fire and tell me the things I need to know. Praise God. I don't know anyone who doesn't need that. And nobody's above that. I'm too cool for school. I know everything and nobody can tell me anything. That you're setting up for disaster. Well, this guy here, he's listening to these people, but sometimes the counsel is wrong. And they are, and these aren't men of God. The prince of children of Ammon said to Hanun, yeah, he's trying to search out the city. He's going to spy it to overthrow it. Where Hanun took David's servant and shaved off one half of their beards. Now that's not to be done in Israel, okay? And I don't think it was the bottom half. I think it was like half, you know what I mean, just so they'd look ridiculous. And that, you know, men in Israel would swear by their beard. They wouldn't swear by their head. You could lose some stuff up there, but people, you don't never lose your beard unless you shave it off, and that's fine if you do. We're not under any kind of, Bible doesn't tell us men have to wear beards or mustaches. If you like to look and you're lazy and you don't want to shave, praise God. And if you shave all the time and you like to look all clean, praise God. No judgment. No one's, that's between you and your spouse. And I there was a guy at work, you know, Josh there, and he came in all shaved. I said, okay, that was a mistake. He goes, oh, yeah. Halfway through the process, I said, this is bad. And he started growing it the very next day, and I was grateful. I thought, some guys, when they, no, you know, if you know somebody and they always have a beard and then they don't have a beard and you're thinking like, yeah, dude, you need a beard. I mean, usually I don't care about these things, and if you shave or if you, I don't care. He needed a beard. Anyway, I'm not saying he's ugly without, He didn't look right anyway. So be that as it may. But this shouldn't be done. This is trying to humiliate them. And if you don't think so, and they cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. Okay, enough said on that. They're not trying to bless these men. Okay, can we all agree to that? When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them because the men were greatly ashamed. Of course they were. Of course they were. And the king said, tarry at Jericho until your beards be grown and then return. Man, we don't want anyone to see you in that condition. They think you're a little kid or something, you know. I've been shaving since I was 8, you know. The Jewish guy will say, I don't. And when the children of Ammon saw they stank before David, well, what were you thinking? You thinking they was going to bless him? Okay, somebody go over the thought process with me. This is going to, I'm going to spit right in the king's face, but it'll probably be okay. Oh, my goodness. When the children of Ammon saw that they stank before David, the children of Ammon sent and hired the Syrians of Beth Rehob and the Syrians of Zobah, 20,000 footmen, and the king of Maacah, 1,000 men, and of Ishtob, 12,000 men. Now, that must have cost a few dollars just so you could humiliate somebody. Okay, now here's another option. Okay, guys, come in. Oh, yeah, your father is so sad. He was a good friend of mine. Oh, we appreciate that. Thanks. Hey, have you had lunch yet? And send them on their way when they're all done. Just another option. And we're not hiring thousands and thousands of people. Nobody's humiliated. Nobody's dying today. Everyone's happy when you give somebody the benefit of the doubt. And if they came and when they shaved their beards off and they cut their garments off, if they had any intel, did they not have the intel after that? It was ineffective, and it was only effective, and now we're in trouble. And when David heard of it, he sent Joab and all the host of the mighty men, the children of Ammon, came out and put the battle in array, and the entering in of the gate, and the Syrians of Zobah, and of Rehob, and of Ishtob, and Maacah were by themselves in the field. And Joab saw that the front of the battle was against him before and behind. It's kind of a pincer move, right? They're in front of us, they're behind us. Uh-oh. He chose all of the choice men of Israel and put them in array against the Syrians, and the rest of the people he delivered into the hand of Abishai's brother, he might put them in array against the children of Ammon. He said, if the Syrians be too strong for me, then thou shalt help me. But if the children of Ammon be too strong for thee, then I will come and help thee. That's a good move. You know, all things being equal. Be of good courage and let us play the men for our people and for our cities of our God, and the Lord do with that which seemeth him good. This is, oh my goodness, this is my heart so good. Joab is kind of a tough guy to control. This is Joab being, this is his high point in my thinking in Scripture. He's being godly. He's like, look, well, we might die today, but let's be courageous. Let's go out there and let's do what we got to do. Sometimes, listen, this has been the history of America. Sometimes in a generation, we call all of our young men to step up to the plate, go and shed your blood on that. Don't complain. Don't cry. We don't want to hear it. Just, it's freedom time. We got to make a payment. And that's it's tough. It's tough, isn't it? Nobody wants our children to die on, and these men and women who have stepped up to the plate and done that. And you know, we have Veterans Day coming up. Thank you for your service. That's all I can say. You know, sometimes that's what's called on. And he's like, okay, will Lord do that which seemeth him good? Lord's going to see us do this or he's not. Either way, we're going to do what has to be done. I love that. I love courage. When the children of Ammon saw this, and Joab drew nigh in the battle, and the people that were with him unto the battle against the Syrians, and they fled before him because soldiers for hire, they want to collect their paycheck, but they don't want to spill their blood. Okay, we'll go out and we'll puff our chest up, and we got all our regalia and our armament and all this stuff like this. Oh, this is like serious, and people are going to die? Well, call me gone. You know, soldiers for rent. You can't really expect that people are going to... Now, if somebody's like, you're defending the homeland against an invasion, we'll fight to the last man. That's what has to happen. But you rent me to fight your battles for you? Yeah, well, I'll show up, you know what I mean? But really, you want me to die for you because you shaved somebody's beard? I don't know about that. So they take off. And when the children of Ammon saw that the Syrians were fled, they fled. Before Abishai, and they fled and entered into the city. So Joab returned from the children of Ammon and came to Jerusalem. When the Syrians saw that they were smitten before Israel, they gathered themselves together. And Hadadezer sent and brought out the Syrians that were beyond the river. And they came to Helam, and Shobach, the captain of the host of Hadarezer, went before them. This is double down. Like, give up. You already were stupid. Now you're going to re-stupid? And when it was told David, he gathered all Israel together and passed over Jordan, came to Helam, and the Syrians set themselves in array against David and fought with them. And the Syrians fled before Israel, and David slew the men of 700 chariots of the Syrians, 40,000 horsemen, and smote Shobach, the captain of their host, who died there. And when all the kings that were servants to Hadadezer saw that they were smitten before Israel, they made peace with Israel and served them. So the Syrians feared to help the children of Ammon anymore, I guess. Overshaved beards. Adam, I see that that's not a greatest this what we the things we can learn there, they're close to the surface and they're very obvious, but I don't see that's why it's one of your least favorite chapters in the Bible. No, you hadn't, we ain't got there yet. Now, chapter 11 of 2 Samuel. Oh, I would to God that this were in a Bible, but it's here, and God's put it here for a purpose. What's the purpose? Men, be on your guard. Be on your guard. I don't know how else to say it. I take the story right to heart. I take the story right to heart. David's over 50 years old now. This is the fall of David. He's never the great king after this. Does God forgive him? Yes. Yes. And what happens because of this? Well, some bad stuff. He can't take his children in hand, and he's not the greatest dad in the world after this. He can't tell his children, make sure you don't do this, because guess what? He's done some bad stuff his own self. So we see his daughter raped by Amnon. We see Amnon killed by Absalom. We see Absalom leading a rebellion against David. We see the child that's conceived by Bathsheba. By the way, you understand what this chapter involves, right? Spoiler alert, it's David and Bathsheba. We see that child die. There's death and carnage and mayhem that follows David all his life. I think he's a better psalmist. That's a small consolation. We read Psalm 32 and we read Psalm 51, and we see the depths of the grace of God and God's forgiveness. And we can learn some things, and let's learn them. But David is... Dave. So it's here. It's here for our edification. Let's learn. Came to pass after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, David sent Joab and his servants with him and all Israel, and they destroyed the children of Ammon, besieged Rabbah, but David tarried still at Jerusalem. Why? Because, I don't know, it's the time when kings go forth to battle, Dave. David would have been safer in that battle than he was tarrying at Jerusalem. Mom used to tell me that idle hands were the devil's playground. I think there's something to that. But beyond all that, we've already seen David with his two wives at the beginning, then later on four wives. I think last count there was 11 wives and there's a whole pile of kids, and David's played with the sin and played with the sin. And God's blessing me, and God, listen, if you're sinning and it's unrepentant, listen, I love you. Listen to me. Listen to what I'm saying. God's not blessing you despite that. You're just running out of real estate. David should have read in, I think it's Numbers, make sure you know that this, your sin will find you out. It always does. It always does. There's always lipstick on a handkerchief or a matchbook from a hotel, or there's always something. You're not that clever. And God will make sure you're not that clever. Stolen water's a sweet, she says, and you end up with a mouthful of gravel. David's at Jerusalem. It came to pass in the evening tide, David arose from off his bed and walked on the roof of the king's house, and from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The word is bathing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon, and David sent and inquired after the woman. So, look, it's like, okay, he's up on top of the palace. And now, what's her part in this? Yeah, I wonder who lives in this palace. I think I'll bathe myself in the middle of the day. Now, I don't know. Think of what you want to think. One look, and that's it. Go away. Oh, God, help me right now. That's how it's supposed to work. I hope I didn't see what I saw, but I better not check and just get out of here. Run, flee youthful lust, Paul says to Timothy. You say, well, he's not youthful. No, but the lusts are. Do you outgrow them? I asked a guy this one time. He's an older guy in our church, and I asked him, when does this go away? He says, it never, ever will. You have to learn how to defeat it, and you have to learn now, or you're going to be a dirty old man, he told me. And I thank you for the insight. I wasn't thinking I was 30 years old. Maybe I was 30 years old at the time. Thank you. What a blessing that was. Adam, it's never going to go away. You have to win this battle. Every man's battle. Women, listen, ladies, you're not off the hook, but I don't know. I don't know how it works. I've never been a woman. I don't know. It's probably different. I don't know. Go to a woman's study, find your own. I don't know. David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, is not this Bathsheba the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? Okay, the daughter of Eliam. Eliam is one of his mighty men. So is Uriah the Hittite. Now listen, everyone's a daughter, so who cares, right? My wife is a daughter of somebody. That's fine. And the wife of, you're right. It's a rebuke. Isn't she Uriah's wife? And so David, Dave, you got a harem. I don't know how else to say it. Muslims who have more than one wife will say, 10 women are not enough, and one is too many. I know what they're saying. If you're trying to satisfy that carnal, 10 women won't do it. I get that. And one is too many? No, you're entirely wrong about that part of the equation. One, if you do this right, and you dedicate your heart to one woman your entire life, that's beautiful, that's wonderful, that's godly, that's good, that's how he designed it. No, one woman isn't too much. It's just the right amount. Two, you're over the line, okay? 10, no, that's right out. So is 2 and all the numbers in between that. And as far as 1,000 with Solomon, no. So he's, she's beautiful. She's some looker out there, and I've seen a lot. And go ask her. Who's that anyway? She's a married woman, Dave. And David sent messengers and took her. And she came in unto him, and he lay with her, for she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. So menstrual cycle, then a week after that, I don't know how much you know this, but half of the time in the Jewish household that you can't be intimate. So she's religious. She had the purification thing going on, and she's, what's her part in this? Was she raped? I don't think so. It doesn't have any indication of that. I think she was a willing participant in this. The woman conceived, and he sent and told David and said, I am with child. Uh-oh. Now, this is what's supposed to happen in a situation like this, okay? Just in case you didn't know, just in case nobody told you, it's my great privilege to tell us. When you mess up, and you mess up royally, you bring in Nathan, God bless Nathan, and Gad the seer, and your people around you who are counseling you, Abiathar the priest, and Zadok, and say, okay, guys, I'll tell you, I messed up. I blew it. Where do I go from here? Now, what do I do? Is there a sacrifice I need to do? None of that, David. And this is what happens. This is what happens when we have sin. What's the next thing? Oh, we got to cover it up. Will God let us? No, you dummy, no. Listen, I love you. I really love you. No, he won't let us cover it up. It's a grace when we're found out and we can repent and come clean. Woman conceived and sent and told David, I am with child. Well, her husband's out on a battlefield. What's going to happen? Hey, how come you got a child happening, honey? What's going on here? Well, you know, miraculous. No, we ain't buying that. Well, David, and this is not going to go well. David sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now, I hope you know the story. Uriah, by the way, what does his name mean? Well, it means Yah. You know, Yah, Uriah, Yah, Yah. Yah is light. Is he? Oh, yeah. We found that out in the Gospel of John in some amazing ways, right? Uriah, I can't say enough good things about him. He's a Hittite. He's not Jewish. What tribe is Hittite? That's not one of the 12. So he's joined himself to Israel. He's one of David's mighty men. He's out fighting the battles of the Lord, where David is supposed to be. So he sent Uriah the Hittite. Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah was come on him, David demanded of him how Joab did and how the people did and how the war prospered. Give me the news, what's going on? And David said to Uriah, go down to thy house, wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. Yay! So we're having prime rib, and it's all going to be good. And no, but Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of the Lord and went not down to his house. Huh? What's going on here? Well, that's what David wanted to know in verse 10 when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house. By the way, who are they? His servants. He's conspiring. And he's trying to get Bathsheba to conspire, and he's trying to get Bathsheba to have Uriah go down to his house, sleep with his wife. Okay, now everything's cool. She's with child, and who counts all the months? And since she was a little early, who cares? Whatever. And David's son or daughter is going to be brought up by this stranger, and it's not even his son. David, what are you doing? What's the thought process here? This is seriously crazy. Why? Lust. I got to tell you something. Lust will make you stupid. Lust will make you stupid. He's not even thinking straight. So all my peeps around me, you know, who went and got her, brought her to me, it's kind of public. Oh, it's a small circle, but David's not doing anything where nobody knows about it. She comes back, yeah, I'm pregnant. Now David's conspiring with the people. Hey, guess what? Uriah didn't go down to his house. He's making liars out of everybody. Dave, you're the man after God's own heart. What is going on? Lust will make you stupid. Again, take the advice of my good friend. He was an elder in the church I used to go to back in the day. You have to defeat this. You have to win this battle. And by the way, once you defeat it, then it's good. You're home free forever. No, that's not how it works. You have to defeat every time. And how do you defeat? Prayer. God, I need you like right now. What happens? Well, God shows up. He'll get you through. Oh, don't worry about me, God. I got this. You have to worry about me. Yeah, no, we do. We definitely have to worry about the guy who thinks he's all set. So David says to Uriah, he said, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou go down unto thine house? Why did you go home, take a shower, dude? You've been out in the field, you know, lay with your wife. That's implied. He's not going to ask him about that and stuff. But he's, you know, why don't you go home and enjoy? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord, he's talking about David, my lord, your servants, they're encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into my house and to eat and to drink and to lie with my wife? As thou livest, as thy soul lives, I will not do this thing. Wow, that's a godly man. Who said you can't go out? Is there a commandment against that? No, he's saying, look, no, this isn't right. Joab's out there in the field. My buddies, my men in, you know, what's with that? Band of brothers are out there. The Ark of the Covenant's out there. What am I supposed to go home and party and say, yay for me? Forget everybody else. No, that's not going to happen. I love this man. And David said to Uriah, tarry here today also, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and the morrow. And when David had called him, he did eat and drink before him. He made him drunk. And at evening he went out to lie in his bed with the servants of his Lord, but went not down to his house. So he's got him drunk. Oh, my goodness. David, I wish I could be there with Dave. Dave, you're losing your mind, Dave. Hey, try this vintage. This is something you want to try. When the king gives you a glass of wine and says, drink it, you're going to have to drink it. I mean, there's no two ways around it. And guys, there was no taboo against that. There was a taboo against drunkenness. It was a sin. But he said, yeah, try this one. Oh, yeah, try this one. So he gets him pickled. And Uriah is more righteous than David, intoxicated than David is in sober. This is an incredible picture. Oh, just go down to your house and stuff. Yeah, get him down there. Help him. Call him a taxi, whatever. Get him down there. We don't even care what happens. We can tell him later. He'll figure it out. Like, yeah, I can't remember anything. But even drunk, Uriah is still that faithful guy. You got to like Uriah, huh? When David had called him, and it came to pass, verse 14, in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. He wrote in the letter saying, set ye Uriah in the forefront of the hottest battle and retire ye from him that he may be smitten and die. I couldn't have got that right. No, I did. You read it right. That's just, okay, we'll get him killed. That's all. It happens in battle. So I'll move in, I'll marry his widow, and everyone will say how godly and how wonderful I am. For David's mighty man was killed, but David stepped up to the plate. And I mean, she's got no, like, income coming in. Once her husband dies, that's it. That's her revenue stream. But David's a good guy. He ain't going to let her starve and stuff. He's going to step up to the plate and marry her. What a good guy David is. Do you understand why it's one of my least favorite chapters? Because I've loved David, and you have loved David up to this. And some of us who have been around, we know this chapter exists. And it's never fun. And God has put it in the Bible so that we can learn from it. I know, serious stuff, right? So he sends this letter. Well, how come Uriah won't just open it and say, hey, forget this, the letter's going to find its way to a mud puddle, or I'm going to burn it up, or because Uriah's, we already saw, he's as faithful as they come. He is going to give Joab his own death warrant. He's going to deliver it. That's a cruel irony, David. You're one of my favorite Bible characters, and right now, not so much. Came to pass when Joab observed the city that he assigned Uriah into a place where he knew that valiant men were, but he doesn't do what David calls him to do. But if David ever had control over Joab, he loses it right here. He loses all of Joab's respect. David was a man to be feared, a man to be respected, and a man to be loved. And he's thrown all that away for what? A roll in the hay with a pretty girl. That's all it amounts to. A pretty girl who is somebody else's wife. And the Bible said, by the way, there's no offering for that. Oh, you just kill a lamb, you'd be fine. No, that was a death sentence in Israel. Murder was a death sentence. Is he murdering Uriah? He might as well be holding the sword. It works out that Uriah is killed, but Joab doesn't do it like, he just puts him in the hottest battle place. And the men of the city, verse 17, we have to read about Uriah dying, went out and fought with Joab, and there fell some of the people, the servants of David, and Uriah the Hittite died also. Then Joab sent and told David all things concerning the war. He charged the messenger, saying, when thou hast made an end of telling the matters of the war unto the king, if so be that the king's wrath arise, and he say unto thee, wherefore approach ye so nigh unto the city when ye did fight? Knew ye not that they would shoot from the wall? Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal? It should be Jerubbabel. Did not a woman cast a piece of millstone upon? That's just an alternative name. It's like, you know, Edward and Eddie or Ed. It's just a different ending. It's fine. Who smote Abimelech, the son of Jerubbesheth? Did not a woman cast a piece of the millstone about him from the wall, and he died at Thebes? Why went ye nigh the wall? Then say thou, thy servant Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So the king is going to be upset, but this will unupset him. David is familiar with the book of Judges. Isn't that something? I don't know. It is to me. So the messenger went, because you got to remember, that's the time of the Judges is 400 years. So this is, I don't know, maybe 200, 250. I can't tell you when, at what point in the... So the messenger went and came and showed David all that Joab had sent him for. And the messenger said unto David, surely the men prevailed against us and came out unto us into the field, and we were upon them, even unto the entering of the gate, and the shooter shot from off the wall upon thy servants, and some of the king's servants be dead, and the servant of Uriah the Hittite is dead also. So he's not really a good messenger, but he got the news across. Anyway, then David said unto the messenger, he didn't do exactly like Joab said, okay? But I guess I give him a hall pass in this. When you're talking to the king and you've never been talking to the king before, you might have kind of like just, you know, not be in your total cool space, and you might just run off at the mouth a little bit. I think he did. David said unto the messenger, thus shalt thou say unto Joab, let not this thing displease thee. Let not this thing displease thee. Hey. For the sword devoureth one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it. Encourage thou him. Hey, these things happen. Don't let it bother you, Joab. My love for David right this second is at a low ebb. This is why it's not one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. I'm so glad it's here. If you think this is fun teaching this, I'm going to tell you, it is not. I'm so glad it's here. Aren't you glad it's here? Not that David sinned a great sin, but if this isn't instructive, my goodness, what is? My goodness, what is? We see sin conceived, sin given birth to, and then all the wickedness and all the lies and all the duplicity and the skullduggery and people are dying. Oh, Joab, don't let it bother you. The silver lining is if we can come away from this with intact marriages. Now, people, when they marry, nobody's saying, yeah, I'm going to play the field and, you know, and they, but people think like, oh, I won't get caught. I won't get caught. All adulterers are liars. They've already lied to themselves. They've lied to the other partner there. You know, oh, it'll be all right. It'll be... Well, they've lied. Stolen waters are sweet. That's a lie. And then you've got to lie to cover the lie. And I said before about lying. That's one, don't bear false witness. Two, you're not that, I love you. You're not that clever. You're just not. How do you know that? Because I'm not that clever. I can't remember who I lied to and what I told them. And, oh, now they're talking to this one. I'm wondering if they're telling them this lie that now I got to go and I got to tell this one. And I got to, did I, now wait, did I tell them this or did I tell them? You can't remember all the places the lie goes to. You get in enough trouble telling the truth. And then whatever happens, if I told the truth, I'll live with that, okay? But I'm not that bright to remember who I lied to and how I keep that lie going and... But I can generally remember what really happened. I can generally remember the truth. So just tell the truth. Let chips fall where they may. If it puts you in a bad light, okay, fair enough. Yeah, I did it. You're right. Be a stand-up guy. Own it up. Own it. And away you go. And David's marriage vows don't mean anything to him. And Uriah's and Bathsheba's marriage vows don't mean anything to David. That's disappointing. I've heard people tell me, you know, who are people like they're living together, and I'll say, why don't you get married? Oh, it's just a piece of paper. I will tell her, here's your options, run or run screaming. Those are all your options. If he thinks it's just a piece of paper, after you're married, he'll think it's just a piece of paper. Ladies, listen to me, and I know you will, because you're smart girls. Don't ever marry a guy who thinks marriage license is just a piece of paper. Nope, that's the law of the land, and it's a good law. It's one we should, David's, his covenant vows, I remember a president a few years back, and I don't want to be disparaging about one party or another. There's plenty of guilt in Washington to go around, bipartisan. But, you know, he'd had a young intern, and he had sex with, and but we were told that didn't make him a bad president or anything, just because he didn't keep his vow to his wife. He would keep his vow of office. I don't believe that. I don't think you can compartmentalize your sin. I used to talk with the guys at Seven Oaks when I was doing a Bible study there, and I said, I know some of you are thinking, when I get out of here, who, me and my girlfriend, we're going to, because they live it by themselves like monks for months at a time, and I said, don't do it. And I said, nobody here is going to stand there and look me right in the eye and say, well, yeah, I'm going to have some kind of fornication. Boy, I tell you what, I said, you can't compartmentalize your sin. You'll be having sex outside of marriage, and next thing you know, you'll be back in drugs. You can't compartmentalize sin. You can't do it. Because once you do one, you'll just like, everything's just kind of like, you know, I did this great lie about this, so I'm going to do this little lie about, you know what I mean? You're all in for the Lord or you're not. That's how it works. So am I talking to a room full of people who are never going to sin, never have sinned, never going to sin again? No, that's not the point. It's never the point. I find myself doing something wrong. I have a lousy attitude or a wrong idea, or I've listened to Satan, or I've yielded to temptation on some level or something like that. Don't dwell there. Run to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He loves to do it. He knows who we are. He understands. And at that point, we're kind of like, Lord, I messed up. He goes, yeah, I know. And he strengthens us and teaches us. And great. Don't double down. And if it's really bad sin, like if this were my sin, this situation, I'd bring my friends in around me. I'd come clean, tell them. I wouldn't be here next Sunday. Somebody else would. That's how it works. You can't. There's some places you go and it's a bridge too far. You know, there's some things that just you can't. Now, what up into what point? You know what I mean? Some guy was cussing and yelling at me today and calling me every night. I wanted to hit him, but I didn't. And no, this didn't happen. This is totally hypothetical. So I'm telling, like, you know, Sterling, yeah, I wanted to hit that guy, but I just, that doesn't disqualify me from this because I was angry at somebody, I don't think. Now, if I beat him up with an inch of his life, I think it does. You know what I mean? And where and what, and you know, because you have a thought. And Martin Luther said, you know, I can't stop the birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from building a nest in my hair. And I think that's very key, and I think it really is. You know, you can get a thought and you can dwell on it and think it all the way through, and no, not for the man of God. No, you can't. And you find yourself in that place, and you quickly... You do that mental, and you pray and pray and pray and pray till it goes away, and it will, because that's who God is, and that's what he does. He delivers us from all our unrighteousness. Don't let it bother you. Come on, Joab. The sword devours one as well as another. You've been in this a long time. A lot of people have died under your watch. Don't Don't take it to heart. Don't let this thing displease thee. Look at the last verse, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. It's the exact same phrase, it's the exact same word in English and in Hebrew. Don't let this bug you. God says, don't worry about him, Dave. I'm bugged. Okay? The sword devours one as well as another. Make thy battle more strong against the city and overthrow it and encourage thou him. What a hypocrite. That's not a word we say about David all the time. Here he's being a hypocrite. I don't know how else to say it. When the wife of Uriah heard that Uriah, her husband, was dead, she mourned for her husband. Of course she would. How genuine was that grief? I think she was, okay, that's what I'm saying. I think she had the hearts for David. He's a handsome man. He's a king. He's got money, influence. He's got good looks. He's got all the things that this woman wants, I guess. Did she love Uriah? I think at some level she did. She mourned. That would be expected. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house. She became his wife and bare him a son. Yay. And look at David, the hero. He took that poor, miserable widow woman and just, isn't he just a great guy? And it's all just a sham. It's just covering up his unfaithfulness. Is this fun? Are you having the time of your life? Because I'm not. This isn't pleasant to talk about. Do we need to talk about this? Yeah, we need to talk about this. She became his wife, bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. Now, if that isn't the understatement of the whole Bible. Really, really. Okay, David committing adultery with a man's wife displeased the Lord. How does that work? And then he's trying to cover up his sin with treachery, and he has this innocent, godly man killed, and God's bugged? What is up with God? I can't understand him. No, we're very, very happy. We're very, very happy that God's upset with us. God doesn't change. It's not like there's one rule for you, another rule for me, another rule for the king. Or the ruler, or whatever, right? Oh, no, no, no. God doesn't change. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Adultery, let's understand this. It's always wrong, and there's never an excuse for it. There's never a reason why it's okay. Well, Adam, what about if, no, no, no. You're not going to scenario me, Rosalie, and put it in such a slant, such a spin where I say, well, honey, yeah, you, yeah, sweetheart, you, sir, you can, yeah, okay, it's good in your, no. No, I can't. I can't. God said adultery's wrong. If you're married to somebody, well, you know, she's been very sick for a long time. It's only a matter of time for sure. Stop! Stop! I don't want to hear any of the particulars why you think sin's okay. Having somebody's spouse killed to cover your... Now that... Okay. We all know. Why am I so adamant about this? I remember early on we got saved and I went to a church. I don't know... I don't know if Suze was there. I think I might have just come back to, and before she came out to California. I can't remember. I almost think it was alone. But the pastor was telling a story. It wasn't him. He was telling a story about a pastor who had committed adultery. And it was found out. Or I think it was an ongoing kind of thing. And, you know, that's it. You run him out of town on a rail, tar and feather him, get rid of him, get a new one, you know. These things happen. It's terrible. It's dreadful, but he was one of these double-down clowns that I talk about from time to time. Well, he said from the pulpit, you know, it helped a lot. It really got me to focus on my marriage and what's important, and I discovered some things about him. No repentance, no. And if anyone went to that church after that, shame on them. But that's always the way it is, you know. There's always somebody who's wants to make things okay and all right. And it's, listen, God's never going to change his standard. Every person in America can say, you can live together before you're married. Sex before marriage is okay. Listen to me. Sex outside of marriage is okay. It's just a biological function. Okay, maybe he lied, but he only lied about sex. Come on. get with the times. No. Here's the times. Sex outside of marriage is wrong. Praise God. He set out a standard, and he expects us to keep it. That's it. Is it you going to hell? No, nobody's saying that. It's like any sin, God can forgive. Can a marriage be saved after that? I've seen it. Yeah. It's not, is it the end of the world? No. Is it a horrible thing? Oh, yeah. So let's take this chapter that's not our favorite, and let's learn the things that God wants us to learn. Oh, you say, now, Adam, I appreciate what you said, but listen, adultery is not my, well, something is. Something is your hot button issue. Something is. Don't tell me that in the flesh you love the Lord all the time, every day, every minute, and only want to do what's right. Because now your problem is lying, okay? Something is. Maybe that is or isn't. But apply whatever it is. Temptation comes. You stand on the word of God. You pray. Whatever. It'll pass. Satan, when he sees one, every time I tempt this person, hey, that stupid person keeps praying. He'll figure it out. And we dare not do elsewise. Sin has its consequences. We're going to see the consequences play out. And I'll keep pointing back to this. The consequence. If David knew what was involved, if David could see into the future, we can see into the future through the life of David. Isn't that wonderful? We don't have to see what our sin is going to bring and how things are going to go awry. We can see it in David's life and apply it to our life. And that's why it's here.